Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
One chop comes into the Manchester United half, dribbles on, finds some space, goes into the box, shoots, and it's in! What a run!
The penalty area, got a man to beat, cuts back, goes again, it's... Oh, what a goal! Tom Ince arrives on the big stage for Derby!
Delivers with his weaker foot, Patterson. Martin! Keogh again. Oh, and a chance for Maria once more! He's done it!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Writer Podcast. I am your host, Simon, as always. And, well, bit of a turbulent week for Derby. Another disappointment, as we heard news this week that there'd now be another minus nine points deduction from the Rams. But we have to discuss it. And joining me today is Nigel Owen. Nigel is from the Black and White Together Supporters Group. Nigel, good evening. Welcome to the show. Bit of a silly question, but hope you're well. How are you doing?
Yeah, personally, I'm well. Let's start with that, right? I'm good. That's fine. The football club, ongoing, right? It's nothing surprises at the moment, I don't think.
No, I totally agree. So, as I mentioned then, Nigel, I said you're from Black and White, so you have Sports Trust as a mine. I thought, let's bring you on, you know, because obviously we've hit Twitter, especially Twitter, we've sort of hit it by a storm. I had like over 4,000 followers since September.
Immediately after the administration announcement, wasn't it?
Yeah. So let's just obviously give everyone a bit of a taste of who we are, what we're about, and you know what we aim to achieve. So take it away, Nigel. What would you say Black and White Together is all about?
So you know, well, I'll run you back as to how I got started. You know, one of the guys in there contacted me and said, you know, would I be interested in joining a group to try and get more transparent information out there about the club. And you know, my immediate reaction is obviously, yeah, how can I help? What can I do? Can I do anything? That was the fear at the time. And it was great just to find a group of like-minded individuals who were worried about what was happening at the club. As I say, this was pre-administration, don't forget. And just the fact that, you know, we weren't hearing anything out of the club about takeovers. The annual results of the club had not been filed for a number of years. Mel Morris had stopped doing all these radio interviews that he seemed to be keen to do before that. And, you know, what can we do? What can we help get out there? Just try and get some information for fans. And the agreement between the group was that, you know, we just wanted to get better communication and more transparent communication from the club. And we were, you know, trying to sort things out. How are we going to announce this, etc.? And then, boom, on that Friday night, administration dropped and it was like, oh, right, yeah, now we've got to get a move on these things. And great work from everybody involved to get the Twitter feed up there, to start getting news out there. And, you know, the response has been not overwhelming because we're still trying to do it, but a phenomenal response, like you say, to get more than 4,000 people following us from nothing just over 2 months ago is a great effort. And I think what we're trying to do now is get as much information as we can find out there, some opinions, but I think, you know, there's enough opinions out there on social media generally that we don't want to stir that pot too much. No. It's just trying to get information, facts out there on the club and on anybody who's willing to step up and say anything around taking over the club. We had a meeting. We had two meetings now with the administrator. We've got another one coming up on Tuesday morning. To get the update on the latest situation there. Just again, we're just fans who want to share the information and just hope upon hope that there is some silver lining hidden away in all these clouds that we've had to endure, not just for the last couple of months of administration, let's be honest, the last couple of years of Mel running the club.
Yeah.
And as you look back now over those numbers that, you know, opened a few eyes, I think, yesterday, previous years as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it hit hard with regard, obviously you mentioned there, but we want communication and that I think that NDA meeting pushed a lot of people, not just people obviously in the Black and White Together group, but just fans across all, you know, all platforms and just all fans in general, that there were certain groups that were, you know, being shared information that wasn't allowed to go across every fan. And I think that for me, when obviously you guys asked me to join, that was one of the reasons I joined, was because I didn't think it was fair that other fans were sort of allowed to know certain information about our club, yet others weren't. It didn't make sense. And yeah, like you say, we've done a lot. We've reached out to guys that we've seen that have been spouted by the press, that are interested in taking over. They've all got back to us. But I think obviously now, I mean, the administration meetings, I mean, it's just now, obviously we've got one on Tuesday. Any idea of an agenda at all or anything like that?
No, I mean, yeah, the good thing that you know, I've attended one of the other guys attended the other one. The good thing that I attended on the first one was that the administrator had nothing to hide, right? You know, they didn't want there to be, you know, minutes agreed afterwards. They literally said at the start of the meeting, there's nothing that's going to be said in here that we don't want to go beyond it. We'll tell you what we can. There are obviously things that are going to be subject to the NDA with the interested parties, and that's business. That's just what happens. Yeah. But they're not going to share anything with us and create that, you know, two-tier of fans that I think a lot of people felt after the NDA meeting with Mel Morris. Yeah. So, you know, again, whatever information we can get out of that in that meeting on Tuesday, we will share with the fans as soon as we can afterwards. So if anybody has got questions that we can put to the administrators, we can do. But obviously bear in mind that they're not going to be able to tell us everything. They're not going to be give us names and details of who's involved or how big the bids are or that kind of thing. So please be realistic with your questions. But, you know, we will ask whatever questions and try and get as much information from them as they're willing to share.
Yeah, and it's also about working with the other supporters groups, the likes of Punjabi Rams, Rams Trust, Derby County Supporters Group, Derby County Disabled. There's loads of them. And I think, you know, a lot of people see a support, not a lot, but there is some people that see a supporters group of like, what makes you a big, you know, sort of special, but we're not in it for that. We literally, like you said, we just did it just for some open communication, you know, and like you said, anybody's welcome to the information. You know, we've got obviously the website that you can join up, get a newsletter. You get the blogs as well on there. There's a forum that one of our members, Liam, has, you know, put together and done a good job of it. And, you know, it's just, we'll put everything there. We're not hiding anything. And I think that's, you know, we're not saying we're anything special or anything like that. You know, it's just a case of, we just want to be able to talk to the club and the club to talk to us and us to feedback to the fans. It's just, it needs to be a bit more open now, don't you? Especially with everything that's sort of gone on.
That's it. And, you know, we don't want to be an exclusive group, right? You know, you can be a member of Punjabi Rams and follow us and be on our forums. You can be, you know, we encourage everybody, be in the supporters club and follow us. Being, you know, one of the specialist groups have specialist requirements, you know, and step in there. And I think, you know, across all those supporters groups, we just wanted to try and get a united, not a united front, a united view, because again, different people have different objectives and reasons for their groups, and all of them are valid in their own right. But it's just a case of, you know, can we just try and encourage the club to communicate with all these bodies and appeal to as many as you said? You know, we quickly realized that, yes, Twitter is an easy way to get communication out there and reach a lot of people, but there are equally a lot of people. You know, my dad was one. He said to me, you know, you've got my support. He said, but I wouldn't know where to find Twitter. So again, what do we do there? He can find a website. So we've got the website going and we've got the email list and that's it. There are still people beyond that. You know, there are a lot of Derby County fans out there who aren't, you know, who are nowhere near as tech savvy as you, Simon, and, you know, not even as tech savvy as me, and I'm nowhere near you. So, you know, we've got to try and keep getting out there, passing on the message and information to as many as we can do. And look, we're not claiming to represent anybody in particular. You know, this is not, don't be offended that we're saying we're representing all fans. I don't think anybody can ever do that. No, all we're trying to do is just get information for as many fans as we can do, and people can use that information as they see fit for their own purposes.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. So, I mean, on this minus nine then, were you expecting it?
yeah, you're the third person to ask me that in the last couple of days on a public forum, right? And my answer has been the same to all three. I think, you know, there was hope that this one might be three, it might be six. In accepting nine here, the 12 for admin might go down to nine or six. And we've seen rumours all the way through that it might come down as low as six in total. It might be all the way up to 24. I think there's just a little bit of relief that I hope we can now draw a line under the points deductions at least.
Yeah.
And now focus on a couple of the other hurdles that still remain in place. But, you know, when I spoke to Ed Dawes yesterday and said, you know, it's a worrying position when Ed Dawes is being the realist and all this, that, you know, losing 21 points now, we ain't staying up. Let's be honest. You know, I'm sure the team and Wayne will battle until it is mathematically impossible, and fair play to them for doing that. And I'm sure the fans will get behind them week in, week out to cheer them on to get as many points as we can do. But it's a League One football club now that anybody coming in is going to buy, which does provide some certainty for those people coming in. You know, they can put a valuation on that basis. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing in terms of the valuation, because, you know, the amount that's got to be paid to the creditors has got to be paid, irrespective of how much you value the club at. So, you know, it perhaps puts a gap in there. So they've got to try and work out where that works. But, you know, coming back to the administrators now, they can focus on trying to work out whatever deal they think they can hammer out with HMRC. And then we've still got the issue of the fact that there has to be a deal agreed with the ground as well, realistically, for the club to properly move forwards.
Yeah. This might sound like a weird question, but do you think this is fair? As in the whole situation, is this fair that a football club, players, staff, fans are being punished because of the mistakes of previous owner and a person that is still around? And, you know, that is obviously Mel Morris, the previous owner, and Stephen Pearce. You know, we've seen the accounts now. There's no hiding from the big spending.
Yeah. I think there's three different ways of coming at this. And unfortunately, if I'm going to be democratic on it, two of them I do think mean it is fair. You know, if you look at the rules that are in place, that Derby went into administration, that's a 12-point deduction. Yeah. And they breached financial fair play, you know, as detailed yesterday. So in actual fact, you know, the 9 points for that is equally fair, right? So the rules of the competition, we all know when we start, and Derby have breached them. So the points deduction is fair on that basis. And there have to be those punishments in place so that other clubs don't do it as well.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it would all be fine, you know, if Derby went, oh, well, you know, COVID and, you know, Mel Morris is no longer here. You know, so Derby get away with six, they stay up. And then next year we miss out on a playoff space or something else because somebody else has done exactly the same thing because they've seen us do it and they only get deducted five points or whatever it might be. So there has to be that deterrent for others. The real fairness bit when you come back to it is, what about us fans who couldn't do a whole lot about it, who are still here, we've still paid our ticket money. Lots of people have paid season ticket money. You know, 2 years ago, they paid that season ticket money. Yeah. They're getting season tickets for that now. You know, yet we're the ones that are always taking the knocks on this. And I thought yesterday, we've not heard a peep out of Mel Morris. It's that interview he did with Ed the day after or the Sunday or whatever it was, in which even then, you know, he didn't really want to apologise for anything that happened. He's just disappeared now and doesn't want to say anything to anybody. You know, not even done the old found a favourable journalist to write a oh, woe is Mel Morris story and a trite apology. We've not even seen that out of him.
That was a Daily Mail last time we did that, weren't it? And that's surprising.
Yeah. Strangely enough, for a you know, publication that hammered Derby at every angle, he went and sold that story to the Mail. But it does. That's the bit that I think, you know, people rightfully say, and not just Derby, whenever it comes up, Wigan, Bury, whoever it is, it's always the fans who are dealt the unfair blows for the actions of people who we didn't have any control over. You know, we've been here before with the three amigos, Robert Maxwell, etc. And, you know, we can protest when these things finally come out. But unfortunately, it takes the club to get into a bad situation before any sort of protesting comes out. And quite often then it's too late in that situation until a new owner can come in and hopefully arrest the decline and try and bounce back. The last time we were down there in the 80s under Arthur Cox.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously mentioned Mel's not said a word. It's like he's disappeared off the face of the earth. I still am a bit concerned because obviously he owns the stadium, you know, so that has to be bought separately. The administrators have, I think they've sort of hinted that the club will be sold along with the stadium. But again, it's potential new owners. Obviously, we know names of Kirchner. We've heard names of Appleby. We've spoke to both of them. Carlisle Capital, another one, we've spoke to them as well. They've all said they're interested. Obviously, now I believe they're all under an NDA. So that's why we're not seeing Kirchner come flying out on Twitter and stuff like he has been. You know, I know a lot of people fans sort of have been tweeting at him. You know, I think he's been on his holidays or something and been tweeting about his business. He can't say anything now. You know, he came out publicly and said, yeah, I want the club, etc. and all that, which is very nice of him to do so. But now we've got to understand that everything now is under that horrible three-letter word, the NDA. But yeah,
and that's what has to happen in this situation for it to move forward. It is frustrating when, you know, when we don't hear anything for a week, we don't hear it for 2 weeks. But, you know, be assured, and my line of business is vaguely related to this, that there are just times when people can't say things, and it doesn't mean things are not happening. They're just working away, getting information, putting stuff together, liaising with the administrator and those sorts of people. And when the time is right, the administrator will step forward and will provide an update on where we are. We may get some new information in that meeting on Tuesday. And hopefully, you know, hopefully the very least we'll get told is that they still believe that that timetable of end of December, first week of January is still on track. I think that would be the biggest disappointment we could get now, is if somebody said, do you know what, we're going to have to put that back. Because, you know, as we've seen, and the worry now, you know, there's got to be a worry that players are going to want to leave, right?
Yeah,
because they're heading for League One. So there are players in that side who were around, the playoff season, believe it or not, playoff finals. There were players who were around the season after who would have believed that, you know, they would be back in the top six under Koku and will be pushing for the Premier League. And therefore they're going to see themselves as, at the very least, championship players.
And there are,
as we all know, a number of good youngsters, and opinions differ on them, but, you know, they have all come through.
Yeah.
They've all proven themselves to some extent or another at this level, and there are more coming through. And I think the worry has to be that if we get to January, we don't have a new owner, the very least that's going to happen is we're going to lose those players at a fee that is less than we should be getting for them. At least if we've got a new owner in place, they can say, look, we get it that you want to carry on and play championship football, but at least help the club out and ensure that we get the rightful money for you that the club can then use to go forwards and reinvest from there. Ed made the point yesterday on the radio that, you know, Curtis Davis might be, you know, I think we might have said goodbye to Curtis at the end of this season. Maybe in League One, he's got another season in him.
Yeah.
Help organise things and direct some of the youngsters and some of the new players that might come in. And that might be his ideal, might be that he guides Derby back in one season and then says thank you very much and moves on to his media career or coaching career or whatever it is he's clearly got lined up afterwards.
Yeah, no, I think Curtis will stay now just for another season. I think he might just play it season by season now. Just go, yeah, I could probably do another one.
Yeah, and he's not going to play 46 league games this season. No. He's not going to play 46 league games next season, but just having him and around the dressing room for 46 games and maybe playing 30 of them, you know, I think will be useful.
Definitely. So it's going to be on to some fan questions now. So DCFC fan Dean 81 on Twitter. Now this is a question I think that some people have been thinking about, but no one's really discussed. And it's, my question is, how worried are you both about liquidation? It's got a point. And I understand where it's
never been
off
the table, right? And still isn't off the table. It's always there when you go into administration. The reassuring bit has been that since this process started. And as you mentioned, you know, we've spoken to various parties ourselves in this, and they've all assured us they're interested. Now, we haven't heard anything from them since the announcement yesterday. And as you say, some of that is going to be subject to NDA, so it's difficult for them to say much more than they were saying anyway. You would just hope that they are still interested, because this hasn't come out of the blue to anybody who's interested in the club, right? You know, even before the, well, administration came along, so 12-point deduction, there may have been some hope that that got reduced. But if you're a realistic investor, you knew that was coming and you knew it was going to be tough to stay up even with that one. There's a chance, but not a lot. Yeah. You then know that there's this points deduction hanging over as well, because it's been hanging around for so long now. So, you know, your job as a bidder in this situation is to weigh up the risks and the potential returns. And you can't have committed to do the amount of work that will be involved in this, frankly, if you weren't giving a hefty percentage likelihood to Derby being a League One club. Mm-hmm. So you've got to hope that they're in that. They might just be tweaking their numbers a little bit more off the back of it. Now it's a certainty rather than a possibility. But while there are interested parties, liquidation hopefully, you know, remains a bit further away than arm's length. But yeah, it's still a possibility. You know, and with those hurdles that I mentioned, HMRC still to be resolved, and the ground, as you mentioned there, you know, never say never until it's fully announced that we've got a new owner signed and sealed and through the door.
Agree. Then Bedford Ram says, why have the administrators seemed to have conceded to EFL on every level? Particularly concerned is the wage cap and the number of registered players. I don't think, obviously, I think he's on about the, what came out yesterday with the business plan saying we're going to have a registered squad of 25 players and there will be a salary cap and, you know, we can't spend any fees. I believe that's standard sort of administration rules, isn't it? It's normally a 2-year transfer embargo and you can only sign a certain amount. I think it's a 25-man squad, I believe I read when it said. And then is it a £16 million wage cap?
Yeah, it's very similar to what Birmingham had, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. It is the standard package. The business plan, really, if you look at the details of it, just says we won't breach financial fair play over this period of time, right? We will behave. We won't be naughty boys. That's what that says. And yeah, do you know what? The transfer, it's not an embargo because we can sign players on a free with the salary restrictions that you mentioned there. So we can bring some players in. Yes, there's a squad cap on it, etc. But a bit like we said, is it fair? You know, the rules are set out there. They are what they are. And I think, you know, Bedford Ram might be a similar guy that was on Radio Derby yesterday saying, you know, they reported it was going to be 3 and then it was 9.
Yeah.
We're all getting caught up in what's rumours and trying to discern what's rumours and facts. And we all hope that the rumoured of being reduced to 3 points or, you know, one of the others being half, the other administration won't be half to 6 and then 3 points was good. But yeah, I think, you know, realism, as we said, we look at the rules, we breach the rules, they are what they are. What may have been in the administrators' minds was that, you know what, if we accept this now, as I just said, it removes one of those three planks of uncertainty that have been around. And for a potential investor with a cool, calculating business head on, removing uncertainty in an investment is a step forward.
It definitely is. And then Graham Doyle on Facebook, he mentions a stadium. So we've sort of touched on that. This is what's the state of play with the football ground. Mel Morris still owns it. He's got nothing to give it back, nothing to stop him selling to a developer. Knowing Derby, I think it's not over yet. We could find ourselves in League One with no buyer, no football ground. Can you clear this up if possible, Dublin Rams? So, yeah, obviously, yeah, Mel owns the stadium. We don't know, you know, he knows he's got to sell it because I don't think he can really do anything with a football ground with no football team for it. You know, for me, it wouldn't make sense. Reading Alan Nixon today in the Sun, you know, it seems to be the gospel at the moment, especially with Chris Kirchner. I wonder why that is. I think he said he wants 20 million for the stadium. So, I mean, 20 million is not really much, you know, for a stadium. So I can't see him holding on to it, to be honest. I don't see what he gains in slowing the sale down and holding on to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the situation, as you say, is that Mel Morris clearly owns it, right? And we asked the administrator in our first meeting with them, you know, what, given that the company that owns the ground is not in administration and the football club is, you know, is it going to be part of the deal? And he said that Mel Morris has assured me, and I've got no reason to disbelieve him, for which there were some smirks around the room at that comment, that, you know, a deal will be done for the ground and it will all be sold together.
Yeah.
So, I will ask the administrator the same question again next week as to whether he's still as confident on that. We'll see what they say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think that Mel Morris decided to hold on to it and was really spiteful to the football club that you get planning permission to put anything else on that. Yeah. Right? I think, you know, Derby City Council and the town hall would be besieged by tens of thousands of Derby County fans, and you know, I don't think that party would ever get in again if you were the party that sanctioned a change of use from a football club and a football ground to a warehouse or something like that. So I think that is probably out of the question. As we've always said, when we were looking at the valuation of the football ground within the loophole that Mel tried to feed the club through to at least save some face in terms of the losses in that 1 year. Valuing a football ground is very difficult because it only has a value when somebody's playing football there, or if you can sell it off for housing or something else. I think that option is off the table. So how do you value it? Well, you know, if there's not a football club playing there, it's worth nothing because Burton Albion are not going to move to play at Pride Park. Yeah. Notts County or that other team that play down the road are not going to come and pay there to play it. So,
or the Notts team.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's a possibility that he owns it and charges a rent to Derby County. Mm. And there's that sort of, you know, option there. But again, I think we mentioned the liquidation. If there isn't a deal done and there isn't what the incoming bidder thinks is a fair deal for the ground included,
yeah,
then the possibility of liquidation becomes greater. And then it starts to get a bit twisted because then you haven't got a football club to play in the ground. And also the debts to MSD Capital are secured on the ground. So if you know, in liquidating the football club, 15 million plus the extra 4 million is not able to be found from fire selling the players and what other assets the club has got, then they will go back and take their pound of flesh in terms of the ground. So it's in Mel's interest not to make it too difficult for an incoming bidder to come in so that they don't all step away. Mm. But, you know, you would hope that he just wants out now.
Yeah,
you
think
that. We've not seen him for 8 weeks and that, you know, the losses are the losses, and we can talk about, you know, the fact that all the losses are self-inflicted, right? I don't have a lot of sympathy on that one. No. But, you know, if you want to just write it off, get it done, draw a line under your name and your connection with Derby County, be a realistic number on the ground, and let's move on.
Yeah.
But again, it's hope rather than knowing anything more as to what Mel Morris's plans are there.
Now, this is a question I've been struggling to find any answers on. It's from Wild Ram 1979 on Twitter. He says, what happens with the 32 red contract with Rooney in League One? I don't know if it makes a difference or not, because basically, I mean, obviously everyone goes, oh, he pays Rooney's wages. Didn't they just give us a massive lump sum towards Rooney's wages, from what I believe? And is he still on a playing contract? Because surely it's not been really
clear. I saw this question earlier, and I think that's there's two bits to it, right? Player contracts are player contracts, and we're never going to know all the details within there. Now, obviously, you know, 32 Red were, well, they were completely implicit in bringing Wayne Rooney to Derby County without their extra funding. As we understand that the clause that was in the sponsorship contract, Derby wouldn't be able to afford Rooney in the first place. But then equally so, when a player moves from a player coach contract to a manager contract, it's going to be a different contract. And you talk to any manager who's gone from playing to managing, the wages aren't as good as for a manager as they are for a player, right? And I think even Wayne Rooney would have to accept that there would have been a change in terms of the deal on that. So whether that contribution from the sponsorship continued with the managerial only contract? I don't know. And nobody's ever really come out and said. Unfortunately, that happened in the period in which Mel had gone into to media silence with everybody. You know, and therefore the terms around going into League One are even more beyond that. You know, and does that affect whether Wayne Rooney stays with the club or not?
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, I think the one thing that you would have to say through this is Rooney showing the same tenacity and the same dogged determinism to fight until the absolute final whistle through all this. And would you be surprised if he stayed on and tried to give it a go to bring the club back in League One? No. And fair play to him. He could have easily walked away at any point in time since administration and before that, you know, given the turmoil that's been around, trying to protect his reputation and to get another job and not be judged on what's happened at Derby County. Fair play to him for sticking in there, sleeping on his sofa, buying whatever kit and equipment he's bought for training and all that sort of thing, paying for hotels for pre-season. The guy is determined and has committed himself to Derby County so far. If he now says, do you know what, I've had enough League One, sorry guys, I've got to go elsewhere, fair play, I'd shake him by the hand and say thank you for what you've done so far. If he wants to stay in, great, I'm all for it. I know some people don't like the circus and the title that comes with Wayne Rooney, Derby County, but you know what? There are worse options out there right now.
I agree. I think, you know, if Rooney goes at the end of the season, if he goes now, I'd have nothing but respect for him because he could have gone a heck of a lot longer ago. You know, he didn't even have to take the job in the first place when Philip Cocu was sacked, knowing the situation that his club was in, because he would have had an inkling at the time of the situation of the club. Well, saying that, we don't know with what Mel says and stuff, but I think, I've got nothing but respect for him at all. You know, I know he's, let's be honest, he's not been the greatest manager performance or results wise, shall we say, but I you know, he's just everything he's had to put up through. It'd be a struggle for any manager. Yeah, he stuck it out, his first management job, and you know, I wouldn't blame him if he left at the end of the season just to keep, you know, sort of his reputation intact and say, look, I know we're hearing him interviews. I think he had an interview with Owen Bradley today, and he sort of said, oh yeah, I'll still be here planning for January, planning for the summer and all that stuff. But realistically now, I think even if he walked out, it still wouldn't bother me. I'll be like, yeah, fair play, mate. Go and get yourself a career in management, and you know, where you're not having to deal with all the off-field issues.
Yeah, and there are a number of managers who, if they said that, you know, I'm here for January, whatever, you go, yeah, okay, I'll take that with a pinch of salt. Given what he's been through so far and what he's done so far, you've probably got more belief that he actually means it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And you know, he does want to try and fix it. You know, look at his playing career. He was at Everton for a long period of time. He went to Man United. Yes, okay. He went to DC United again. But he was a one-club man. You know, he wanted to fix things. He went through iterations of the way Ferguson did, in waves of building up one team, then it falls away, then building up another team. And he was in a couple, if not three, of those iterations. And he's a man who wants to bring back good times after relative dips. I know it's all, yeah, Man United fans, the year they don't win the league, it's a bad year, right? And it's all a bit relative to those of us a bit further down the pyramid. But, you know, I think he sees that. And we've all discussed this before. He doesn't need the job in terms of the money, right? We all know that. So it is down to his own determination to be seen as a success. And you get the feeling that until he's succeeded at Derby County, he isn't going to feel himself he's a success.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I think he's gave himself a pat on the back last season because we stayed up. And I think he was desperate, absolutely desperate to not have to deal with another points deduction. So I think he believed so badly that we could stay up this season with just that minus 12. And, you know, you've got to respect him for that he doesn't give up at all. So fair play to him.
And look at, you know, the players that he's managed to bring in on the restrictions that we've got. I don't believe there are many other managers that would have been able to bring in Ravel Morrison and get him playing, right? Yeah. There was a lot of suspicion around that when they brought him in. But so far, you know, all you've heard is good stories about his behaviour around the training ground, the club, match day, and his performances. Phil Jagielka wouldn't have come, I don't believe, had it not been Wayne Rooney in charge. He's obviously, the big frustration, I think, was that he wasn't able to bring in the sort of goal scorer that he would have liked and we all would have liked and we need, and probably won't be able to do that in January now. I'm put it this way, there are a lot worse options out there than Wayne Rooney right now, and given what's happened in recent times, I'm happy to go with the devil we know.
Yeah, definitely. Rams fan 84 says, in your opinion, do you think Kirchner will be the new owner, or do you think Appleby et al. Could be the surprise package? It's a difficult one because obviously, like we said before, Kirchner made all the right noises, didn't he? Whereas Andy Appleby is, obviously we've spoke to him and we obviously broke about that. Yeah, Andy Appleby was interested along with Sam Rush. But it's media silence on that now, isn't it? And I prefer that, to be honest, rather than the go-hung approach of Chris Kirchner. No disrespect to me. You know, if he gets the job and he does a good job, then fair enough. But it's a bit gung-ho for me at the minute.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some advantage in having your bid in early, right? Because your bid is in.
Yeah.
At some point in time, the administrators will say to other parties, okay, there's a deadline in which you need to have your bid in. But then once your bid's in, you're equal to anybody else who's put it in at whatever point in time. This is not your school homework where, you know, if you get it in early, you might get some bonus points from the teacher. You know, once your bid's in, your bid's in. And yes, it will come down to the financial matters first. And if the bids are the same, then they'll look at the quality of it from there. The only thing I think I can say is that if Andy Appleby puts his bid in, he's serious about it. This is a guy that doesn't mess about with football clubs, doesn't mess about with sports clubs. You only got to look at his track record at Derby, his track record with the other sports clubs in the US that he's been involved in. If he's putting a bid in and wants to be involved, he's serious and it's good news for the club. Mm. Chris Kirchner is a wild card. He's unknown to us. He said a lot of the right things. And look, if he comes in and he is the owner, I'm sure fans will get behind him and give him the support that we have done every other owner that's come into the club in our history. And if he is, you know, open and transparent in his communication with the fans, then I'm sure that will carry on from there. So, look, let's go back again to the liquidation. Anything's better than liquidation, right?
Definitely.
And we unfortunately have no more insight than anybody else. We're not in an upper tier or a, you know, a cozy club that gets information on those sorts of things. It will be down to the administrator and those bidders who've put their money on the line to be involved in the NDA discussions. And I guess until such point as the deal is agreed, we won't know whether the administrator and whether other parties may confirm something when it gets to preferred bidder status. I don't know. Again, we can ask that question next week. But yeah, it is, unfortunately, like you say, it's that quiet period. Everybody's doing their work. And I think, again, working in this industry to some extent, the finance side of the industry, I'd be more worried if there was a lot of noise out there from the administrator trying to drum up business. I think the fact it's quiet is a little bit more reassuring that there are things going on.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, you know, the supporters groups will have a meeting with the administrators next week. You know, we might sort of try to get in contact with Andy Appleby or Chris Kirchner or whoever if we can see. But like we said, we've tried it before and we're just getting it. It's confidential at the minute. We can't say anything. And we've got to respect that. You know, let's be honest. We can't keep poking and fighting, can we? Let's be honest. So.
And, you know, there have been parties who've come and gone. The Easdales, you know, again, they spoke to us and said that they were interested, but just couldn't turn things around in time, which again suggests that the administrators are confident that timescale they mentioned will be achieved, which suggests that there are enough interested parties to do so. But that's all we've got to go on right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. David Richards says, answers where possible on the two legal cases in HMRC. The points were always happening, but these two things are lingering. Yeah, it's So the HMRC thing, obviously, we're assuming that there'll be, hopefully, you, again, we'll get an answer for that on Tuesday. You know, hopefully something's said about that. The two legal cases, I don't get them at all. You know, how is trying to sue us for, between the two of them for, what is it, about 51 million? A club that's potless. What are Middlesbrough trying to achieve? 45 million. Where's he getting that from? And 6 million from Wickham. I almost
kind of wish that this is the point at which Gibson and Mel Morris took off their own legal case and said, you know what? Go and have the argument over there, the two of you. Don't involve the football clubs. Mm. Just go over there and have it. And the Wickham one, you know, whenever I've seen the guy quoted, he said, oh, I've not really looked at it properly, but we'll have to investigate it. And it's almost like he's just throwing things out there, or somebody's asked the question, he feels like he's got to answer it without ever really looking at the facts and the details. And for me, every time I look at it, I just think, well, your argument seems to be that we should have been docked these points last season or the season before or whatever it was in the different cases. And if that is the case, then surely that's the EFL's fault.
Yeah, yeah, that's my thought. How's
it Derby's fault for, you know, not saying, oh, we did this wrong, please fine us now?
Yeah.
The process is, again, come back to the rules. The rules are there. The appeal processes are there. They've all been followed, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So if you've got beef with anybody, go to the EFL and tell them they should have done things sooner and go from there. But what I hope, and, you know, sport is not a place where clubs should be suing other clubs. No. The rules are in place for the governing body, for the leagues, for the clubs to adhere by. If somebody oversteps that, the punishments are in place.
Yeah,
the EFL have punished Derby, as we come back to the point, fairly by the rule book. Mm-hmm. The clubs should just accept that those rules have been enacted, and that's it. If you don't like the rules, then at the next AGM, get together and change the rules.
Yeah.
But these, you know, the EFL exists to represent its members. So those rules are there in place by its members. If two of them don't like the rules, get together and persuade the other 50% or 70% or whatever it is that needs to change that rule in the EFL rule book, and do that then, so it doesn't happen again to somebody else. But, you know, the one precedent, I guess, that's similar to this is Sheffield United trying to claim money off West Ham when they had Suarez under the third party ownership deal. They claim that Suarez kept West Ham up. Sheffield United got relegated and tried to have a legal case to get, you know, loss of revenue from that. That failed, which I think is right, because once you start opening the floodgates to football clubs suing other football clubs for things that went on, I think you're into a dangerous situation. As fortunately, we sort of joked about with some of the other guys this morning, you know, what happens then? Do we go and sue Villa or QPR because they were in breach but got promoted? Bournemouth maybe as well. You know, do we go back to 1966 and the German FA can come and, you know, sue the Russian refereeing federation because their linesman should have given that one? You know, it's got to stop somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Rules are rules. Points deductions have been put in place.
Yeah. Let's get on. And that's it. And then Little Englander on Twitter, he's on about Rooney again. This is a couple of questions for Rooney. Will Rooney leave before the new owners come in, and will the new owners want Rooney in charge when they come in? Well, to be honest, obviously we discussed the first question, you know, but the second one, that is a good point. A new owner comes in, you know, sometimes new owners come in with a vision of having their own manager. So yeah, he might not be first choice, but so yeah.
Trust Derby to be almost a unique situation again. You know, when the Saudi owners go into Newcastle, you know that Steve Bruce is not going to be the man, right? The club has struggled. Results have not been great. There have been calls from the fans for Bruce to go. Mm. And he's not going to be the sexy manager that they're going to see spending the Saudi money. So you know that's inevitable when that happens from there. Mm. When new owners come in, quite often they want to bring in their own big name along it.
Yeah.
But is there a bigger name than Wayne Rooney?
Exactly.
You know, to bring in, you know, unless you're going to bring in Jose Mourinho or Pochettino or, you know, Pep Guardiola or Jurgen Klopp, there isn't a big name. So let's be realistic where we are here. There is no bigger name in world football that any new ownership group could bring to manage Derby County in League One next season.
Yeah.
So in actual fact, probably part of what you're putting your valuation of the club on is having a club with Wayne Rooney as manager.
Yeah.
So I suspect that any ownership group coming in will be keen to keep Wayne in place for starters. Mm. And like we said, just this pull on potential players coming in, the likes of Jagielka and Morrison that he was able to bring in. Yeah. If he can help pull another couple of those rabbits out of the hat in January, you know, and then start to rebuild the club next summer when we can spend transfer fees again. If we can get realistic money in for some of the players that we're going to have to sell, but get decent money in for that, then hopefully, you know, build up a pot and have a good crack at League One. We know it's not easy. You know, Ipswich haven't found it easy. Sunderland have not been finding it easy, and you know, they've got bigger gates and a bigger crowds than we've got, right? So it's not easy. But other clubs have bounced back. Wigan is a smaller club than all those we've just mentioned in Derby and bounced back. So
Rotherham bounce back every year, don't they, normally?
Yeah. Yeah. you know, so it can be done on budgets that will be smaller than Derby's will next year. You know, let's hope we get a manager, we get an owner come in who has got some money to back the manager with. I hope it's Wayne Rooney. Personally, I know some people will say, I hope it's not. I hope it's Wayne Rooney. He knows a bit about the club now. He knows some of the players that he'll want to keep and what their character is and whether they'll perform in League One or not. I'm sure he'll have an idea of some of the players that he can bring in that scenario. And he'll also have an eye on some of those youngsters that he's wanted, he's talked about several times, and he's wanted to bring into the first team squad and not been able to play because of the restrictions we've had so far. I presume he believes some of those will be capable in League One as well, because we will undoubtedly lose one or more of Knight, Bird, Sibley, I'm sure. And let's give it a go. You know, the great thing has been seeing the reaction of the fans in the stadium since administration. You know, the noise level and the atmosphere inside the ground, despite the fact that we are, 20% down on, 30% down some weeks on gates from last season.
Yeah.
The atmosphere has gone up in the stadium, the support and the backing of the team and the manager. And I think the connection between the players and the manager is back to what it hasn't been for a while. And people feel that the players are playing for the shirt and the club again, that perhaps hasn't been there for a while.
Yeah, no, I agree. Last couple then. I'm going to put these two together. So the first one's from 73 on Twitter. Why do we have more point structure than Reading? And then this sort of goes with it. It's from John Hunt on Twitter. It says, I think other clubs are close to the mess at Derby. How can the Football League stop this happening? So Reading then are on less than us, because I think their breach was only 1 year, weren't it? I think that's pretty...
Reading's is minus 9, is that right?
No, but I believe it's minus 12, but they've had minus 6 suspended.
Okay, all right, well...
So it's sort of the same, but we've had...
I've not looked at the details of theirs to those. Yeah, you're right. I think when we looked at ours was 3 for 1 year, 3 for another year, and 3 for the third year of 4, so the cumulative of that. I've not seen the rule. There was something banded around for a while that it was 1 point for every million you were over the gate, but it is discretionary. And I suspect that, you know, they may have tried to play the COVID card a bit like we did, in that, you know, it has affected revenues. It has therefore pushed it this far. The problem with Derby is that, you know, as we look at the numbers, this was going on from way before COVID. So to try and claim that COVID pushed us, you know, into areas that we weren't in before is just wrong. So maybe that's why there is the difference in there. And maybe that's, and maybe again, maybe them holding their hands up in the first place and saying, yeah, we've blown it, we'll take the punishment, is why they've got 12 points with 6 deducted and we got 12 with only 3 deducted. But again, like you say, 3 in 4 years, we blew it versus, you know, 1 year and go from there. They've got the same restrictions in terms of transfer embargoes, et cetera, as well. So, I suspect that's where that's coming from.
I think it's a difficult question to answer, though. How does the EFL stop this happening? How do they referee it? Because every club wants to get promotion to the Premier League, and they know they have to spend to do that. So they either drop FFP or change it, you know.
Or you just have to keep an act, you know, you have to keep enforcing the rules. We come back to this bit of what's fair, and you know, it's got to be fair to the other teams that if somebody does breach the rules, and the rules allow you a certain loss as it is, you know, allow you to run your business as a loss-making business, then, you know, if you do breach those, then you take the punishment, and that's fair to the other clubs in the EFL from there. I guess the real question of fairness comes in, and this is the problem that drives a lot of those deductions, is parachute payments.
Yeah.
You know, and that the fairness of those, we haven't got another 2 hours to go on about. There's a lot of discussion around the fairness of those. And, you know, if you're Newcastle United now looking at coming down, if you didn't have parachute payments, you'd have to be doing a lot of scurrying around trying to forecast business models, cash flows, etc., based on the income that you'll be getting purely from the EFL.
Yeah.
As it is, I forget exactly where we're at with this, but in your first year, you know you're going to get a 50, 60 million pound parachute payment. So you look at that, you sell a couple of good players, Sam Maximan and Callum Wilson, and you get 30 million in for that. 30 million in for them, plus their wages off. 60 million in parachute payments, you're 90 million quid better off. And what's the TV deal now? 120 million?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
You're not far off your Premier League budget, so you've got a pretty good chance going up. And it's no surprise that regularly those clubs do bounce back because they've got that 60, 70, 80 million pound advantage over 19 of the other clubs in the division.
Because some would say that's Norwich's business plan, because Norwich are buggers for that. They don't spend when they go up. Oh, go down, we'll take the parachute payment, spend a little bit. I mean,
there has to be a point at which you stop bouncing around, right? At which point you say, we've built up enough of a war chest, now next time we go up. Charlton did it a long time ago, right? That was their thing. Go up, get the money, come down, go back up. Can we try and stay up? But let's not spend all the money. If we come down again, then go back again. West Brom did it for a while and then stayed up successfully a while. Now they've gone that sort of yo-yo again for a bit. Look, it's not easy to go up and stay up, as we too painfully know. So, you know, maybe the right strategy is to go up, build up the war chest, go back up, and then have a second go at it. But, yeah, we're a long way from that at Derby County right now.
Definitely. This is the last question, and this is from my nephew. This is from James Smith. He says, do you think going to League One is the worst thing that can happen, or can it be a good thing?
I'd be more worried if we're in League One with Mel Morris in charge.
Yeah.
So there are worse things that can happen. I guess the real answer to that we'll know at the end of the 2022-23 season.
Yeah.
Sunderland and Ipswich fans will tell you, you know, it's not a good thing. Clubs who bounce back and come back stronger at the first time of asking, you know, they then tend to push on, right? We've seen that. Southampton, Leeds, Leicester going back a bit further.
Wolves.
That kind of probably the best position they are now. Wolves, Wigan, will tell you that when they've come back up, they've regrouped and come back stronger. Yes, if you can get back quickly, I think, yeah, it will be a good thing. Once it starts to become two seasons down there, you start to worry.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to bounce straight back up, personally. I think this is exactly what we probably could have done with a couple of years ago before all the COVID and stuff, is to go down to League One. Everyone laughed at me when I said it, because I think we needed to get rid of a lot of, as people would say, the deadwood. But I'd say, well, no, actually, we need to get rid of the guys on the high wages that don't really want to play. And this squad, this club
which is all well and good. Mm. And that might be, yeah, another problem that Derby have is, and I think we're perhaps in the fortunate position, we don't have too many people on long contracts now, long, expensive contracts, and a lot of those are gone. But, you know, there are players who will see themselves as championship players who were on salaries that were decided pre-COVID, and salaries in the footballing world have come down because clubs don't have the money to pay that now.
Yeah.
We may find it difficult to offload some of those players just because they'll sit there and say, well, this is a salary I'm getting paid. Mm. my agent is telling me if I go elsewhere, I'm going to have to take a 25-30% cut in my salary. So, do you know what? I'm going to sit here. And then you have that problem of a player who doesn't want to be at your club, but it doesn't want to leave either.
Yeah.
Let's hope there aren't too many of those. And if they at least want to stay, they're going to pull their weight. Yeah, let's hope that, you know, this time next year, we're in and around the top three in League One. You know, because we all know if we are around there and we're winning football games again, we will be getting 20,000 through the gate every year.
Yeah, definitely.
Every week.
I still think we'll get a decent number of crowd. I still think we could potentially get what we'll get at the start of the season, and that's obviously the 15,000-16,000. And I think for a League One club, I get people aren't going to want to go and watch League One every week. You know, that's just the way folk are. But I still think we'll get really good crowds in at League One.
People like watching winning football.
Yeah, exactly.
If we start to drift towards mid-table, then, you know, cold Tuesday nights, you might find that it's 12,000, 11,000 in February if we're not around, you know, promotion come that sort of stage. But, yeah, a winning club, as we all know, when Derby are winning, the city's buzzing.
Yeah.
And people want to go to the game on Saturday and you know, they take their family. And look, we're all handcuffed to the club, right? We just feel a pull and a draw that when there's a game on, we go. There are a number of people out there who can resist that draw and manage not to go in various circumstances. And there are bigger things than football. My mum's in hospital at the moment. She's been in there for a week. There are bigger things than football. But you know what? She's out of hospital tomorrow and I'm having a season ticket to go to the game on Saturday. And she knows that and she wants me to go to the game. So while there are bigger things out there, we all keep coming back to football and we all keep coming back to Derby County. And as long as there's a club and that small risk that still exists of liquidation stays away, we'll all be there.
Definitely. So yeah, that's all the questions. I knew when I put the questions out, I thought I'm not gonna have to write the show here. I know exactly what's gonna happen. But yeah, that's brilliant. But we will talk about football though, just before we finish. Obviously, we've got two tough games against Bournemouth and then Fulham. How do you approach them? You know, two teams that are flying high.
Yeah, look, it's not easy, but I think, you know, there's all the what ifs. If we'd score, if we not concede those two goals at injury time versus Peterborough, if we got the penalty versus Forest, if we'd not done this, if we'd scored a goal here and scored a goal there, the performances have been, aside from scoring the goals, have been of a top half side, right? With a goal scorer up front, we might even have half a belief that we might overcome 21 points. I still don't think we would. But with a goal score up front and a few more points in the bag now, there would still be some people believing that that's possible. So Wayne has a team believing they can play. You know, there are a number of people who've played against sides better than Bournemouth and Fulham, but it ain't going to be easy. So, you know, he'll have a plan, right? I think that's the one thing we know now is he won't be going out there and going, oh, well, you know, we're relegated. We can't beat Bournemouth. We can't beat Fulham. He will have a plan. He'll have a selection. He's had a two-week, you know, layoff to get some of those knocks out of the team that people were struggling with a little bit more, get a few people like Kazim Richards back to 90 minutes of match fitness. And, yeah, we go on hope rather than expectation, I think, now. But I think Wayne Rooney, if anybody, will be expecting a performance. And I think that's all we can ask for Derby County from the rest of it is put in that performance, play for the shirt, play for the club. The fans will back you and play for the fans and we'll be there. You know, I'll be there on Sunday. I'll be there at Fulham on Wednesday night. And if we see a performance, we clap the fans off at the end. It might be 2-0. It might be 3-0. We might sneak something. We might find a way to score. Happy days. And we'll revel in that if we do. But we'll keep going, keep backing the team, keep backing Wayne. And like we say, hopefully the Christmas present that we're all looking for is a new owner coming in.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, that'll be a really good Christmas. That'll be a new owner. So go on, last one then. Score prediction for the Bournemouth game. I'm doing it. I've got to do it every show. So,
yeah. Look, the home crowd, let's hope we can get something out of that. I'll take a 1-1 out of that. Another point closer to not having two records that we don't want to talk about. Yeah, we'll take a 1-1 in that one. And then to Fulham, do you want a realistic one or a hopeful one?
No, realistic. Let's go realistic, because last time we went to Fulham, it wasn't great.
Yeah. And the time before that, going to Fulham, as somebody who lives in London, it hasn't been a happy hunting ground for a while.
Oh, so you'll be at Fulham then, definitely, I would have thought.
Yeah, and Mitrovic, you know, is the classic striker of probably, you know, the best Championship striker there's been, who hasn't then made it at Premier League level.
Yeah.
We always struggle to play against him. At least in Jagielka, you feel like you've got somebody who will have some nous to play against him, but I can't help thinking anything less than a 2-0 defeat and him scoring at least one of them will be a positive result.
So it's not that bad. We'll take a 2-0 loss. So that's 1 point out of the next two games. Yeah. That's fine. We'll take that. It's all right. I think that it's just about enjoying the football, isn't it? It's just about enjoying watching your team, watching Derby County play.
And just see a performance that you can play. Do you know what? The players have done what they can do.
Mm. I agree. Smashing. Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on, Nigel, and discussing everything, the Hobby Count with me. So remember, guys, you can follow Black and White Supporters, Black and White Together Supporters Group on Twitter at DCFCBAWT. If you want to get involved, you know, like I say, get access to newsletter, forum, the blog, all that sort of stuff, visit the website, which is DCSEBAWT.org. If you want to follow Nigel on Twitter,
it's all on there. It's all linked on my Twitter on there. And the other thing, yeah, we've got this meeting with the administrator on Tuesday. If anybody's got any questions that they want us to ask, we will ask them, as long as they're realistic and not rude. and then from there, yeah, we'll get the answers out as soon as we can after that meeting.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Nigel, again. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you guys for listening and remember and liking and sharing and all that sort of stuff as well. And I shall see you next time. And as always, come on, Derby.
State Rovers watching, helping that fight, guiding.